Dr. Doris Forte, and welcome to the Visionarium podcast, where ordinary people gain extraordinary vision. If this is your first time here, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And if you've been here before, welcome back. This is episode 108, and I have entitled this episode, Medical Gaslighting is Malpractice. We've heard a lot about gaslighting in the last few years because there's a lot of information online about gaslighting as it pertains to narcissists. It's one of their tactics to gaslight people. And it means just twisting your words around in a way that it makes you feel like you're crazy. But medical gaslighting is something else. Or is it? So let's take a dive inside the Visionarium and focus on the concept of medical gaslighting. So, what is medical gaslighting? What's the definition of medical gaslighting? Medical gaslighting refers to cases in which a healthcare professional or practitioner imposes a pattern of questions or tests or even diagnoses that just don't jibe with the symptoms that you're complaining about or the history that you're recorded as having. It just doesn't line up with what you're telling them, what they're saying to you, or the test and procedures that they are suggesting that you need just don't line up with what you are complaining about. It's as if you're speaking completely different languages. And the last thing that you need when you go to your healthcare professional about something that is pertaining to your health is to miscommunicate. But medical gaslighting is more than just missing the mark in communicating. It is actually a mindset that some physicians have taken on when dealing with certain groups of patients. For example, women. Older women and older minority women are 70% more likely to experience medical gaslighting than anyone else. So I find it interesting as I have matured that the quality of healthcare that I have received from my healthcare providers has changed from what it was when I was younger. I have actually experienced medical gaslighting. I shared that with you last year. I was talking about a clinic that I had gone to, and the doctors decided that I needed to be someplace else. And they based their decision solely on the fact, well, let me tell you what they told me. They said, well, based on your financial status, we think that you would receive better care at thus and so. And I said, what facts about my financial status do you have? I've never filled out one piece of paper relating to my salary, my income, or any of that. What are you basing that on? And all I heard was crickets. Apparently, they had had some kind of meeting about me and come to the conclusion that because I fit into a certain age group and a certain minority group, that I didn't have the money that was required for the treatment. That, my dear, is medical gaslighting. And I confronted them about that because that is flat out malpractice. Doctors do take an oath to do no harm. And when you interject that kind of comment on a patient, you're doing great harm. The least of which is now they're back in the arena having to find some place to go to take care of a medical problem. That's a major inconvenience. I discussed this with a group of friends last week. It's the Breakfast Club, the group that I meet with on Mondays, a group of senior citizens. We just get together and have coffee on Mondays. And I asked them if they had ever experienced medical gaslighting. And I explained what it was and what it looks like. This is what it looks like. You go to a doctor with a problem, and before you can even finish telling them what the problem is, they've come up with a reason for the problem. And depending on who you are, they may say something like, well, you know, I see that your weight is a problem, so that's probably relating to some of these symptoms in your arm. And few people have the presence of mind to say, what does my weight have to do with the pain that I'm experiencing in my arm, doctor? Can you explain that to me? Most people, because they're talking to someone in a white coat, will just go with the flow. So at the Breakfast Club the other day, I mentioned it, explained to them what it looked like. And one by one, everybody in that room shared an experience that they had had that was medical gaslighting. What made me think of this topic was I was at the VA hospital the other day, and I've told you I love going to the VA. I'm a vet. I have always received what I thought to be very good health care. But this particular time, about a month ago, I encountered a doctor who tried to gaslight me. I was there because I had had a vertigo episode, and we wanted to figure out why am I having vertigo. Her approach was rapid fire. She would just fire one question after the other, bam, bam, bam. And I was trying to keep pace, answering her questions back. Then we went into the physical part of the exam. And she had me walking in these maze-like patterns. And as I was doing that and doing it backwards, she would say, "Now spell your name backwards. Can you spell your name backwards? Spell your name backwards." And after participating and cooperating with this doctor for almost an hour, doing all kind of stuff, I just said to her, "No." And she said, "I beg your pardon." I said, "No, I will not spell my name backwards." And she ended that test. There was another point in that exam that was even worse. I explained to her that this episode occurred upstairs in my home. And at the time, I was alone, but thank goodness I had my phone with me. So I called someone and asked them, would they just hang on the phone with me until this passed, because I was having a dizzy spell and was concerned about trying to navigate the stairs. And so they stayed on the phone with me. And the whole time, which lasted about 30 minutes, the room was just spinning, just spinning really fast. And I was alarmed. Somehow, I was able to pull up a browser. I had the presence of mind to type in how to stop a vertigo episode. And an article appeared, and it was numbered. And I made myself focus enough to follow the instructions that were listed in that article. And it told me to lean back, turn my head to the side, tilt it about 45 degrees. And I did all that, and it didn't work the first time. So I tried it to the other side, and lo and behold, the spinning began to stop. So I was telling the doctor about this, and she asked me, did it take minutes or seconds for it to stop? And I said, I really wasn't timing it. I guess it took minutes. She said, oh, well, no, that's not it then. I said, I beg your pardon? She said, well, it should have taken just seconds. And she started writing something. I said, excuse me, I was in the middle of a crisis. I was not timing how long it took for the spinning to stop. I was just relieved when it did. I don't know if it took seconds or minutes, and that's my answer to your question. So I need for you to change that answer that you just recorded as minutes to I don't know, because I truly cannot tell you if it took seconds or minutes. And what you're recording on my medical record is very important. And she said, okay. I looked that doctor straight in her eye, and I said to her, you need to listen to me. And you need to set aside any preconceived notions you have about what is going on with me, because I'm going to tell you what is going on with me, and you can tell me why. I'm trying to be accurate and give you the information that you need to help me, because this situation is impacting my life, the quality of my life, and I am suffering. So I need for you to listen. It's not always easy to stand toe-to-toe with a healthcare provider. Most of us go to doctors because we think they know more than we do about what's going on, and we need answers. We need help because we are suffering from something, and we want to know why and get a remedy. But you really need to remember this. You are the expert of your body, not the doctor. You live with your body 24/7. You know what's going on, and you know whether or not it's normal or not normal. And it is the fact that it's not normal that's brought you to the doctor. So you can walk into that exam room knowing that you know more about your body than the doctor knows. And your job is to make sure that you are able to communicate that clearly with a doctor. Doctors are just people. And there are some doctors who have racial and gender biases that are so deeply ingrained that they will dismiss your symptoms and not give them the necessary attention or expertise that they would give to someone else. And this can cause medical trauma. It can put you in a situation where you start believing that maybe what you're feeling, maybe your symptoms are really not that important, or not that severe that you need to go in for treatment. Or you start having apprehension about going to that exam alone and you can't find somebody to go with you. Sometimes the doctor will immediately start attributing your problems to things like stress, anxiety, depression, your weight, your age. These are red flags. If you happen to have ended up with a doctor who insists upon not hearing you, not listening, it's probably time for a referral or to get a second opinion from someone else. It's so hard for some people to fire their doctor and choose another one. It really is. We stay with these people for years, for decades, and sometimes we are not receiving the care that we deserve as human beings. We're not getting the dignity to tell our story and feel that it's heard and addressed. In choosing another doctor, sometimes it brings about a greater sense of confidence and satisfaction with your doctor to choose somebody that looks like you, somebody in your ethnic group who may be able to relate culturally a little bit better than the doctor that you have. There's an age range as well. When I choose a doctor, even though I know the young doctors have been exposed to state-of-the-art equipment and the latest scientific research, I know they don't have the experience that an older doctor would have. And likewise, the older doctor may not have access to the state-of-the-art, except at continuing education seminars. So there's a sweet spot sort of in the middle. And that's just the way that I pick my doctors. Referrals matter. If there's someone that you trust who can refer a doctor that they've been very happy with, and you feel that that doctor can also relate to the problems that you're having, it may be worth visiting them. It doesn't make sense for you or your help to stay with someone that you're having a bad experience with. That's like staying in a bad marriage where there's really poor communication, where you're being gaslit all the time, not heard, not cared for. Why are you paying for that? It may be time to choose another doctor. And I can tell you this now, one of the biggest challenges that you'll have in choosing another doctor and moving to another doctor is your insurance company if you deal with insurance. Because insurance companies have healthcare all wrapped up. The doctor that you get, that you choose from that catalog or listing of doctors in your area by your zip code, will often be a big surprise. You don't know what you're going to get. You can go online and Google a list of their accolades and so forth, but you won't really know who that doctor is until you walk in there. Sort of the same thing at the VA. They have an even more limited choice of doctors to select from, if there's any selection at all. But this is where your preparation comes in. This is where your work matters. You need to come to that exam prepared. If it's an issue with anxiety, for example, you need to be able to communicate with that doctor. How often are you feeling anxious? What does that anxiety look like to you? And how is it affecting your life? In the situation, again, with the vertigo, I came prepared to tell this doctor how often I'm having these episodes, how long they last, and how it affects me in my daily life. There are some things now that I have a little anxiety about doing because I cannot predict when I might have one of these dizzy spells. Your job is to present as complete a picture of the symptom, how it is affecting you, what you do to make it better on your own, how long it's been going on. Just catalog it and create a diary for it. Record times and the number of episodes that you've had with this and how it has affected your daily life, the quality of your life. This is very important. There are some situations in our life that we handle with a lot more confidence than the way that we handle our health. For example, our automobiles. When you take your car to a mechanic, you don't have any problem telling them what that car is doing. I hear this whistle when I put my foot on the brake. The car is jumping around when I take off. I hear a rattle when I give it some gas, that sort of thing. Have the same discipline and pay the same amount of attention and much more to what's going on with your body so that you can present an accurate account of what's going on with you to the doctor that's taking care of you. And most importantly, where medical gaslighting is concerned, keep your ears open and listen for red flags. Listen for statements from that doctor that would indicate that your symptoms are being minimized, or dismissed, or they're attempting to make a joke about it. And you need to speak up in those moments. I've had to do that. I've had to say, I don't think you're hearing me. And this is very important to me that you listen and understand what I'm saying. The incident that happened in August has precipitated all of the symptoms that I'm coming to you complaining about now. So I need for you to look at my record and look at me today and understand that what I'm experiencing today is the result of an incident. It is not typical of my medical history. When you talk to a doctor like that, when you stand there and defend yourself and present your case and insist on being heard, insist upon them doing their job, insist upon being respected, and tell them that you feel that you are being disrespected and that your symptoms are being minimized, do you need for me to repeat again what I am having a problem with my health? Now, first of all, they're not going to want you to take up any more time than they have allotted for you, so they don't want you to repeat it. That is a way, though, that they will begin to listen to you. And as uncomfortable as that seems to be for most people, it's critical if you are being gaslighted by your healthcare professional. And so many of us are. And with that, I'll bring this episode to a close. Let's swim back up to the surface and take a deep breath. I hope today's episode was helpful for you. I know the first time this happened to me, I felt very uneasy, like someone was putting words into my mouth and making decisions for me based on nothing that I had said before. Then I came across the term medical gaslighting, and in retrospect, I realized that has happened before, and I'm determined not to let that happen to me again. So I hope this information helps you. If you'd like to share more about your experiences with medical gaslighting, please feel free to drop me a line. My email address is thevisionariumpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for tuning in and listening. I always appreciate the time that you spend with me inside the Visionarium. So have a great week. I'll be back next week with another episode. And until then, take care. Bye-bye. So until we meet again, remember to focus on your dreams, because you've got to have a dream to make a dream come true. See you soon.